Blog Talk Radio.
You might want to explain to everybody who knows that Blog Talk is bankrupt. We just need to get that settled before.
I'm a part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still.
Wow.
My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity.
Welcome, 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 welcome. It's good to have you with us tonight.
Welcome. I don't know where I was for a minute, but... Welcome, everyone. I'm glad to have you with us and to be here with you.
Huh. Nope. Yes, it is. I wasn't saying no to that.
We worked a little late, so we just kind of ran in the door.
Yes, I wasn't saying no to that.
Grab something.
Now, where is that guy talking at? There he is. There he is.
Love you, Felicia.
Hi, Felicia Eicher. God bless you.
And congratulations on your report. That's awesome.
Eicher, God bless you.
Thank you.
That's you. That's you.
Trying to find out where the voices are coming from.
Don't mind us. We're just trying to find where the voices are.
Oh, my goodness.
God bless you, Felicia. Give us an update on Everly. Wow, 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 wow. Isn't that something?
We got to quit screaming at the in the door at the last minute.
Andrea Flanagan, welcome.
Welcome, Andrea.
We're glad to have you.
Yeah.
It is a viral suction of the congestion at home. Praise be to God. Amen.
Oh, okay, good.
Amen, amen, amen. I don't know how I'm supposed to say amen at all that, but I'm just going to trust you because you said at home. Praise to God.
Praise God.
Amen. Andrea Flanagan.
I did not see.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Take your word for it.
It's good to have you here with us. This is quite a group of folks. You might think it's going to take me a while to get used to this crew. And it might, but more than likely it won't. It's just us, and we're just us, and we're just doing us things. And
they are just wonderful.
And it's great. And glory be to God and hallelujah. Now, somewhere, we're family. Yeah, it's a big family. It's a worldwide family.
Yeah.
We are around the world. And if you let us know where you're from, we'll shout glory about that too. We always are wondering what people had for supper. We're wondering how your day went. And we're not trying to be too personal with you. And the government's not following with us either. And everything's cool and happy, and God bless America. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every now and then there'll be a pause.
In the beginning while we're getting.
We call that just in the beginning. It's just in the beginning, because once they turn me loose and let me go, there's never too much of a pause.
No, it just takes us a minute to get set up. We're also on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. So by this time we get everybody up and rolling. And
what we've learned is that in the Holy Spirit, there is no pause.
Amen.
Men may pause, but God doesn't pause.
Felicia had hamburger steak with brown gravy, rice, and early peas.
Woo!
Over whatever was in the fridge. Creamed vegetables and a tamale, and Pastor had leftover ribs, and we just grabbed stuff. But it was good, and we're full.
And we're full.
Other than now I need some hot cocoa.
I think, I also think fa-la-la-la. I not only think hala-hala, I think fa-la-la-la. Amen. Goodness sakes alive.
I haven't felt like cooking because of this nasty cold. We call the cold gone and you healed in Jesus' name. But I still like cooking some today. Oh, that's good. You and Emberly are healed in Jesus' name.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Isn't that something?
What? What's something? So, Felicia, how many more classes or tests or whatever do you have to go? Or are you, is this the done thing and you're graduated now? Or?
Dan Cottle is with us. Audrey Van Gessel is with us. Felicia Eicher is with us.
Woo!
And Andrea Flanagan is with us.
Woo!
Welcome, 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 welcome.
Walking in the door.
Everybody's showing up. Did you bring your hot chocolate with you? Sister Leanne has already made a kingdom proclamation that it is a hot chocolate night. She already made the proclamation. Hot chocolate night. So, everybody get ready for some hot chocolate. And if you don't have any, then hurry up and hurry up and get to the store so you can get some. All right. Now, tonight we're going to be talking about holidays and holy days. That's a good test. That's a good word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Holidays and holy days.
The last two words.
Christopher Timmer.
No, doesn't seem so bad, and the next one seems manageable. It's the last two from March to May that are going to be there.
March to May.
As we speak, they will be a breeze to you in Jesus' name.
Bears? Bears have to do with anything. Who's talking?
Felicia.
Oh, four more classes. All right. I got you. What are we talking about bears for? All right.
Wow, that's amazing. So then what will your degree be?
She will be a degreed person.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We had a beautiful day out here today. It actually got to 47 degrees.
Yeah, we did. We had a very beautiful day.
And there was no wind, amazingly enough. So it was
one of the only times when you will be in North Dakota and there not be a wind. But there really wasn't, and that's a good thing. The snow was melting today. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, oh, my goodness. Are you guys still there?
Bachelor of Arts, the emphasis on health and wellness. Wow, that's awesome.
Are you guys still there?
I'm still here, and I still see you there.
That's amazing. All right. We're kicking it Jesus style.
Dan and Felicia said they're still here.
Roger Oxley's with us. Bachelor of Arts degree is with us. Health and Wellness is with us. Audrey Van Gessel is with us. You might say, man, you guys are a little different. We are, but it's great. It's wonderful.
Cruising down the highway is with us.
Cruising down the highway. Oh, goodness. So welcome. It's going to be a good day today.
Amen.
And for those of you that were with us last night, we were studying spirit, soul, and body. And we're studying the wise men, and we were studying a whole bunch of different things. But we ended up on praying in the Holy Spirit. And I sent two audios out this morning. Hopefully you got those. And I really want you to just be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want you to throw all the hindrances aside and just enjoy this wonderful, wonderful holiday season.
Amen.
With the blessing of God.
That's how we roll. Amen, Felicia. That is just how we roll.
Interesting.
I know we are enjoying this holiday season.
I am enjoying this holiday season like beyond all imaginations. We even stayed up late last night. My mom, there it is. All right. My mom was, gave us an idea. What was the name of that thing last night?
The God of Wonders?
The God of Wonder, yes. Yes, that's what it was called. It was called the God of Wonder. Hello, Brother Audrey. Brother Audrey.
Oh, my goodness. didn't mean that, Audrey.
Audrey ducked, and so did Roger, because he's like, wait, I thought he was talking to me, but he said Audrey. What's that all about, Pastor? Are you okay over there? Is everything all right tonight? Everything is wonderful tonight. Absolutely wonderful. Everything is wonderful.
Howdy, howdy to you, Brother Samuel and Sister Leanne, and also all the community of faith. Howdy, howdy, Roger. Had big problem. I'm thinking that I may have been hacked. Oh, no. So I wasn't able to see your audio program all this morning. Well, we're glad you're back with us now. We've actually gotten Christmas cards out. Yeah, this here. Just a lost tree which has a testimony on your page. I know, I love that story. I saw that as soon as we got home. How neat. And wrapping and cooking less. Even the dogs have gifts. They have to, because I know ours will open our gift if he doesn't have his own.
Isn't that interesting?
He's going to open gifts one way or another, whoever they are.
You know, isn't it something when you know you have a document and you can't find a document?
Yes, they are, family. Yes, they are. What document did you lose? Maybe it's with your glasses.
Those magnifiers?
Those magnifiers, yes.
Amen, 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 amen.
You call James Jr.? Is he a junior? Did you see Felicia's story by any chance on the testimony page?
No, I did not.
It was so cool. They couldn't find their Christmas decorations, so she was thinking they were going to have to buy a new tree. And James was digging through storage someplace. I don't remember where, Felicia. But found Christmas trees and all of the lights and decorations. They were from her mom before she passed away.
Wow.
And even found decorations that the kids had made when they were
Wow.
I know. It's like, what a precious.
Wow, that's awesome.
Find that is. Wow.
That's an awesome testimony.
Yeah, it is. Oh, the 15-year-old. Okay. Roger's dinner was sauerkraut, potatoes, and kielbasa, jello for dessert, and coffee. Yum.
Yum, yum, a yum, 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 yum.
Do you live right next to a Polish restaurant, or do you know how to make all of this food? Because I could put in some orders for some Polish food. That is another restaurant that we don't have out here. And I used to love eating at the Polish restaurant in
Asheville, whatever it was.
Where it was. Oh, my goodness. I love that food. I love the pierogies, and I love the potato pancakes.
Pierogi. No, 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 no. Everybody's got to tell their story because it helps everybody else have faith. Everybody's tell your story.
We love it. And are you talking to about your finding the Christmas decorations? That's a beautiful story.
Yes.
That just would warm everybody's heart. They would want to hear that. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. I spent a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
Wow, 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 wow. Are we ready yet?
We are. Tomorrow's temperature is low of 23, high of 38. I can almost see what ours is going to be.
Supposed to be up to 30 again.
Is it?
Yep.
And then it drops off again. Thursday, our high is 9. Rain changing to ice, ending in 9 minutes. Huh.
The rain is changing to ice in 9 minutes?
Yep.
It's not even raining.
It wasn't when we came in.
Does not die. Amen, Sister Felicia. Amen, amen, amen. Well, let's see. Oh, my goodness. I'm getting closer. I'm almost there.
Hi, Phyllis. We're so glad when you walk in the door, too. God bless you.
What's for supper, Phyllis? My goodness, it does look like rain. And it's coming right across us.
Huh. But that's okay, because my episode will be over in 9 minutes.
Isn't that interesting? Well, it shows it going right over top of us and turn into freezing rain. So, well, that's a good thing. We need more rain. All right. So let's go like this. Isn't that something? All right. That's set up. And that's set up. And that's set up.
I don't see rain out there.
No.
We love you. And we love the word.
Thank God for his word. I'm going to get into some interesting word tonight. And I hope you came with your cup right side up. Anybody want to sing the old Gaither song? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. You don't know that song?
I don't.
Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. So, there. Now we got our screen up, live YouTube, live blog talk radio. This is your first time here, take a screenshot. I got to get up and get something. Sister Lan's going to talk to you till I get back.
One little face. Pastor Samuel is in time for more good words. I'm not sure he was in time, Roger. We were too late and we came screaming in the door, so we're trying desperately to get ready in a quick hurry here. But there will be plenty of good words, that's for sure. Because all of the word is good. And everyone that, what, no cookies or tea? We have hot cocoa. And actually, we did have cookies. The cookies that I made last night were just not as great as we thought they were, but they're really good dunked in hot chocolate we discovered when we got home. That's a good thing. Phyllis had supper vegetable soup, yum, with bell peppers, carrots, and cabbage. I love cooked cabbage. It is so good. So anybody new here, yes, we are on Facebook Live. We also are on YouTube Live, but we don't start the YouTube program until we're done with our initial part. As soon as the lesson for the evening starts, then Pastor will start YouTube. That way when people go back in to study those lessons, they can get just right to the lesson. They don't have all of the preliminary stuff with it. So YouTube is not up yet, but it will be, like I said, when we start the lesson. Blog Talk Radio is up. We actually started that ahead of time. Anybody that wants to call in, the number is there on the screen, 536-999-3487. And what you do is call in. You can put your phone on mute and just listen. If you want to talk, you can press 1, and on Pastor's screen, it will show you raising your hand that you want something to say, and then he can put you live so that you can talk. Or you can sing to us, Phyllis. Or
Phyllis can sing to us. Amen. Or one of the rest of you can sing to us. Amen.
Yeah. But otherwise, you just leave your phone on mute, because otherwise there's a lot of reverberation of the sound in there if we have too many people on at once, which we actually had the last time we did that. We had quite a few of us on, and it wasn't too bad.
Everybody was functioning together in brotherhood.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to get started, if you will. We always have a Pledge of Allegiance. We always say a prayer for the United States of America. And we truly, truly pray for this nation. And tonight, we're going to pray again for those that are dealing with COVID. We win with COVID.
Amen.
We do not lose.
Amen.
Say it with me. We win.
We
win.
Do not lose.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we win and we do not lose. All right. Here we go. Rise together with me. We'll make our Pledge of Allegiance. Render your honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who have paid that last full measure of devotion, those who bear the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every one of the families of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now join with me in singing, God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. And now join with us and we'll make our pledge to the Christian flag. Gladly begun to add this along with our opening to our program.
Me too.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Join us now as we pray for the United States of America. God and Father of every brave warrior down through American history, on this day and every day, we give you glory and honor and praise for everything that you have done throughout the history of the United States of America, from our founding fathers all the way back to the first person that ever prayed a prayer that said, God, take us to that new land where we can have a life and we just worship you.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, that there was brave men and women who fought all of the elements, who fought every bit of fear, and they pioneered this great nation in the midst of great turmoil and conflict and sickness and disease and famine. And yet you sustained them so that this nation would be alive and well on this day.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
we give you glory and honor and praise, and we declare it again today. Everybody say it with me. May God bless America. God bless America. We pray it again tonight. Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. God bless America. God bless America. Forgive us of our sin, Lord. Forgive us of our sin and heal our land. Forgive us of the sin of apathy, our sins of greed and idol worship. Forgive us, Lord, that we have turned from our first love in any way. And Father, have mercy on us. We, the American people, are seeking your face. We are desiring for you to move mightily, mightily, mightily in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. And we add our faith to the faith of every prayer warrior anywhere in the United States of America and around the world who are praying right now and declaring, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. You have given us a bold statement that the righteous are as bold as the lion and the wicked flee when no one's chasing them. Well, we say to you, wicked, we're chasing you with the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak right now for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace to fill this great nation all across our nation. May it no longer be Democrat and Republican. May it no longer be liberal and conservative. May we just be Americans standing boldly like we're supposed to stand boldly every time we get together. As our great president said, united we stand. We truly stand together united. And on this day, we say it, may we stand so united that that holy anointing oil that we find in Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3, that holy anointing oil falls upon us. And it saturates everything about America. And revival breaks out. Restoration and reformation breaks out all across this nation. And the prayers of every warrior, every saint, praying for revival, praying for people to see who you are. May the revelation of your righteousness supersede and overcome every bit of religiosity that people have held on to.
Amen.
Father, we don't want to be religious. We just want to know you. Jesus told us that we get to be one with you and that you want to be one with us. And so we receive it. We thank you for it. We glory in it. We rejoice in it.
Amen. Amen.
And we proclaim it. We are one with the Father. Thank you, Father, that every person that's within the sound of my voice tonight has the opportunity, has the blessing, has the open doors of becoming one with you. All we got to do is seek your face.
Amen.
And walk with you every single day. And then Psalm 133:3 says, the commanded blessing of the Lord comes upon us. Want to do it with me? Just lift your hands and say, I receive the commanded blessing of the Lord.
I receive
the commanded blessing of the Lord in my life right here, right now, today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we know that means that Jesus is commanding a blessing in the middle of anything that the enemy is trying to do. You're commanding that blessing in our life, and we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We bless all of our branches of the government. Everybody say it. Revival in the executive branch.
Revival in the executive branch.
Tonight.
Tonight. Amen.
And all of the offices of the president, all of the cabinet positions, revival in them. We speak revival in the judicial branch. May every one of the Supreme Court justices be born again.
Amen.
May they fall down on their face before you and say, I need you, the greatest judge, to be alive and well on the inside of me. And we go back to the days of old when they couldn't even be a justice without being a seminary-trained preacher. In the mighty name of Jesus. We speak over the legislative branch. Revival in the legislative branch. May the halls of Congress, the House and the Senate, have days of repentance where they just fall on their face before God and repent of their sins. May the wicked flee because they feel like we, the righteous, are chasing them. May they run in fear of the awesomeness of your presence. And may those whose hearts are not reprobate turn to you, our great God and Father.
Amen.
We speak it done. May the deceived, may the confused run in terror of the wickedness of the perverse and the reprobate. And may every one of us Turn from our wicked ways and seek your face.
Yes.
We pray it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You've been protecting and defending this nation longer than we even knew how or had the ability to do it. And it was your word. And until your word came to pass, it was there protecting and helping and blessing. And we give you glory and honor and praise. That's since 1621, 400 years ago. We have a recorded event 400 years ago. The pilgrims landed Plymouth Rock. And what an amazing work you have done in 400 years as a nation. We thank you for it, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you. 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 Bless every event that's going right now tonight. Church, Bible study, cell group, home group, whatever they call it. Patriotic events, fundraisers, Christmas parties. We declare revival breaks out.
Yes.
Repentance breaks out. Restoration breaks out. And people turn from their wicked ways to follow after you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And now pray the Patriot Prayer of Dedication with me as we prepare to close our prayer time today. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. And we highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. And that we declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today.
We
declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from this earth. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayer.
Amen.
Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Father, we bless all of the men and women of God who are with us tonight. Bless them. Bless them with strength. Bless them with courage. Bless them with faith. May every single one of us find that way to walk extremely close with you in everything we do. Father, I declare over everyone that is here today that you are doing a very, very mighty, mighty, mighty work in their life. Lord, beyond our human understanding, help us just reach into the realm of the Spirit and pull down the revelation of who you are for our lives in every part of our lives. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now, well, isn't that something? I declare to you, technology, that you're going to do the right thing and the same thing every single time. And we're going to be able to count on it being the right and the same. And we're going to enjoy you being right and same. And thank you, Father. I call it done now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, now, I would think that we're back. Isn't that something? Now that does that. Everybody just pause. There we go. There we go. Now I'm back completely and glad to have you with us today. You know, sometimes this technology, as good as it is, as great as it is, isn't that something? It's still just technology. So welcome, everybody. Glad to have you with us tonight. I hope that you've been following our podcast we've been teaching throughout the last couple weeks, the last couple months, actually. Rebecca Adele, good to have you with us tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. I hope you've been able to follow us in the last couple months because we have truly been searching and seeking and digging into some great things in God. And throughout the last month in the evening program, we've been studying spirit, soul, and body. And the more you get an understanding of this, the more you begin to understand and you see what it is all that God has done and how perfect his plan is. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And the sooner we grasp it, the sooner we understand it, the sooner we embrace it, my goodness sakes, his yoke is easy and his burden is truly light. And we can lose all this fear and confusion about any subject because you and I just walk with him every single day. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, Rebecca Odell, welcome. Roger Oxy, Felicia, Phyllis K. Raymond. We welcome all of you. Let me see if I can find anybody else here that we missed. There we go. Amen. I'm just checking. Dan Cottle, Felicia Eicher, Roger Oxy, Rebecca Smith, Mary Pastorek, Rebecca Odell. What was that other lady's name? Where did she go? Wow. I declare that all of this technology functions properly tonight. It's on my end, but don't worry about it. We're going to still get this mission accomplished tonight. Woo! The reality is it's time to have another computer or two sitting at this desk and having some other, another person or two help us get some of this other stuff done because we're doing a whole thing sitting right here at our desk making this thing happen in Jesus' name. And I just encourage you, if you see my eyes darting from screen to screen, I'm not lost. I'm just conquering. Did that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
We're not lost. We're just conquering. We got another app that's opened up. Another something going on. And we are winning in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I'm just being who we are and having a blast in the things of God. And glory be to God. Join us every day for prayer at noon. Join us every night for Bible study that I'm doing right now today, growing and developing in God. It's the cool thing about this, whether you feel in your church, you're welcome to be here and study and grow and develop with us. We will not make you a bad member at your good church. We will help you be a good member at your good church. And thank God for that. Now, let's say a couple. Quite an interesting study. I think I'm going to put this live on YouTube. The YouTube is live also. We've had quite an interesting study as of late, studying the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, studying our sons as spirit, soul, and body. About three different times we've been studying the prayer language of the Spirit. The other night, Mr. Frank said it to us, and he studied prayer language the other night, when the Glory Club showed up, and we actually had a service that lasted for 8 hours. Not a word for it. I ain't never done it either, but it turned out good. Here's how it is. My whole point of all of the statements is this. The Holy Spirit of God is truly leading us. It truly is leading us in the path of righteousness for his namesake. And if you ever pause sometime and just go back and begin to think again of what it was that we've been teaching for the last month or six or this last year, you'll be able to see, you'll hit it from every direction, all the way around, in front, in the middle, on top, bottom, every side. And what does that do? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The apostle and the prophet in the Old Testament said, we receive the word of God line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. What does it do? It just builds. Rather than whoosh, one big build and then nothing. The word of God just daily builds up life. Establishes us the things of God. And the next thing you know, you turn around and look and say, wow, what just happened to me? And you'll realize, I found the body of believers I belong to. I found the people I belong to. And I am beginning to flourish right here in the house of the Lord, even though it's online. And that is the word of God. And so I welcome you. Now, last night, we're talking about spirit, soul, and body. We were using the wise man as our reference. I've been there and done that. I don't recommend it because you don't want to order five ships full of equipment from China.
Right. Or call the emergency system.
I don't know about where you live, but if you accidentally call 911 in your sleep in this city, they come visit you.
They've been here twice.
Come visit you whether you want them. The door being pounded upon, and they will make it loud enough that you won't. But I really want us to talk about this because we ended up talking about praying in the Spirit last night. And it's like the fourth greatest thing that can happen to you as a believer. And so I made two audios about a month ago, 2 months ago it was. I made two audios of just Bible verses about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Hear the word. I send audios that you can listen to. We welcome you if you want to be a part of it. Welcome you to come and be part of it. And just request, and we'll add your name to it in Messenger. But I also have a YouTube of that night. And what's interesting is we started out talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, and we ended up talking about what Bible to use. It's pretty good audio in a YouTube video. And so I'm going to send that out again. You're going to be able to see that. And I encourage you, if you do not yet have your heavenly prayer language and it be fluent, because you want it to be fluent, I encourage you to listen to this and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. Why? Faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more you hear, more revelation comes, greater your life gets, and the easier your life gets, because now you're a weaponry than you've ever known before. And listen, there's nothing wrong with a 45 caliber pistol. That's a good weapon. There's nothing wrong with a 410 shotgun. It'll reach far. It'll reach as far as 45, but it won't do as good a job. There's nothing wrong with an 88 millimeter gun. That'll shoot 35 miles. Can you imagine? Accurately. 5 miles accurate. That is amazing. Hi, Sunday. Welcome. Love you. There's nothing wrong with a Tomahawk cruise missile. They shoot them off ships. They're accurate within 3 feet at 750 miles. That's serious. That's like from here to the American Bridge. And if you just went straight like the cruise line, and be able to hit it within 3 feet. What's the point, Pastor? Every level of weapon you go up gives you greater breakthrough and more ease of use. The Tomahawk cruise missile, you don't put that up on your shoulder. When you have a rifle, you can breathe right, you can squeeze your trigger right, you got to look right, you got to have the front side, the back side right, you got to look at the crosshairs. There's a lot to make in line. When it comes to that Tomahawk cruise missile, you're looking at a screen. And that screen in the computer is doing 87,000 things to make it that accurate. And it's just look at the screen, find a point, and let it go. And that thing's going to do the damage that it does. That's why the shock and awe was shock and awe, because we knew how to use our weapon. What's your point, Pastor? The point is this. Your heavenly prayer language is one of the greatest weapons you have. Because it gives you the ability to pray in your most holy faith. Jude, chapter 2, verse 20. So I encourage you to find that. I don't usually talk a bunch at the beginning of YouTube because I like to go right into the message, but I want everybody to hear this. The two audios are awesome. And the video awesome, and it's both the same. It just depends if you like a 10-minute audio or you'd like an hour video from YouTube that you can just kick on when you come down the road and just do your comfort and listen and listen and listen and listen. Watch this. It's what every great leader in God has done to get to the place where they are. Every single one of them. There's no way around it. You're going to have to give yourself to the study of God's word. And scripture says, to him who has revelation, more will be given. To God every day and say, Lord, I want revelation.
Yeah.
And then he'll lead you in that path of revelation. But he wants you to have revelation. God's not hiding anything from you. It's hidden for you. You and I must search it out diligently in the name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, are you ready for tonight's message? Tonight is going to be a fun message because of the liberation that this message brings with it. All right? So, I want us to go tonight to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And then Romans 14. Colossians 2. And Romans 14. And we're going to talk tonight about holidays and holy days. It's going to be a good study. Both of which are of absolute importance to understand. So, Ann made a very good post on Facebook today about the Christmas holiday. And yet I've had several people who have said, Pastor, I just personally believe that there's a bunch of things that happen in Christmas that I believe are pagan. Now, we're going to see tonight that God says don't judge anybody about what they believe. They believe for a reason. And I'm not God, and you're not my God. I'm not each other's God. But what we're talking about tonight is the pattern of God through his holy word. Because the Bible is very specific about what you and I should do with holy days. It's very specific. And then from that word that we're going to see, your celebration that you want in your life. I mean, let's think about it. In the Old Testament, every seventh year, the land rested. You didn't work for that 7 years. You rested.
Yeah.
You laid around and ate. Eat, drink, and be merry. There was probably a lot of kids born on that seventh year and into the eighth. Right? But the land rested. And it was called the year of the Sabbath. Well, then the 49th year, Jubilee. So in those years were years of great celebration. The 50th year, remember now, you're in your second year of partying. Second year of holidays all year long. That's God's plan. So God doesn't have a problem with a feast or Harley Day. God does not have a problem with a feast or a Harley Day. God wants everybody to enjoy a Harley Day. Some of you will enjoy the cruisers, and some of you will enjoy the sport bike. You enjoy the electric Harley Davidson. That's a violation of all intelligence of the name Harley. Anyway, Colossians chapter 2, we'll hold our Bible up, and we will make our confession. We will make our confession. Confession is new enough that we're probably going to have to read the confession. Ready? This is my Bible. God's holy word.
God's holy word.
Written in heaven. Confirmed on earth.
Confirmed on earth.
I am what Jesus, the living word, says I am.
I am what Jesus, the living word, says I am.
I go do what the Father tells me to do.
I go do what the Father tells me to do.
Today I will be taught the word of God. And this word is changing my life forever.
And this word is changing my life forever.
I receive Jesus as a seed.
I receive you as a seed.
That is producing a hundredfold and more.
It is producing a hundredfold and more.
And I declare no weapon formed against
us. I declare no weapon formed
against
us.
Has any ability to prosper.
Has any ability to prosper.
And Jesus, my name.
Jesus, my name.
Amen. And amen, and amen. Now, I am, I'm going to endeavor to do something again, like I've said to you before. So, I'm going to put on my recording apparatus here. And I'm going to read Colossians chapter 2 through in its entirety. Because this chapter, as a whole, it is a chapter. I need to go to the right part of my phone. What's going on here? There we go.
Hi, yeah.
Al Barton, welcome, man. Love you. So, I can't go fast. Where are we going tonight? We're going to do one of the simplest understandings about holidays you can get. Straight of the word of God. Say it with me. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. All right? So I'm going to make two recordings. I'm going to make Colossians chapter 3 and I'm going to make Romans chapter 14. Colossians chapter 2. Thank you. And Romans chapter 14. And I want you to hear the Apostle Paul in his whole thought of what he is saying. All right, ready? Colossians chapter 2. We're studying holidays and holy days. Verse number 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Look at this. Verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures, wisdom, and knowledge. Read verse 3 again. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness. Paul was saying, I'm not with you, but I can tell in the realm of the Spirit that you're walking with God. Verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and build up in him, established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. I want you to see this. Why would he say, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy? Much philosophy sent your way, try to get you to go aside from the whole word of God. It'll sound good, and according to the book of James, it has a form of wisdom, but it's not true. Verse number 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Who is head of all principality and power? We're going to enter in to talk about legalism now, which is law. Verse number 11, him you also are circumcised, not with the circumcision which is made with hands, without hands. Hold on. Verse 11, in him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of Christ who raised him from the dead. So when you're baptized, it's a form of going under the water and dying to yourself and coming back up a new man. 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped off the handwriting of requirements that was of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus went to hell and defeated the enemy. Verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in that public spectacle. Jesus has rendered everything of our enemy powerless over you and I. Or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbath. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Now pause. What is he saying? He is saying to you and me, I'm going to try to judge you and put bondage on you about new moons, Sabbaths, food or drink. And he said, let no one judge you in that. Why? Because the Apostle Paul is teaching you and I to listen to the word of God, and by this word, led by the Holy Spirit, walk a life of purity before God. Verse 18, let no one cheat you of your reward. Taking delight, a very important part of this whole holiday thing, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, including into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. That means he's thinking according to the soul, the body, not according to the spirit. I'm now in verse 19. Remember, verse 16 says, let no one judge you. Let no one cheat you, verse 18. And then he says how that's going to happen. Not holding fast the head from whom the whole body is nourished and fit together by joints and ligaments, grows with increase that is from God. Say it, I'm a joint, and I'm an increase, a ligament. In 20, for if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations. It's right there in the Bible, verse 20. Everybody pay attention. Don't throw anything at me. Please hear me all the way out. 21. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, neglect of the body. Look at what this says. But are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. That's that's Colossians chapter 2. Let's read chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ, your mind, and your affection on things that are above. But we'll come back to this, but I want you to get that last statement, verse 23. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom, self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, that are of no value against indulgence of the flesh. Well, thanks for joining me today. Nobody hang up. I'm talking to the audio now. Thanks for joining me today for another Hear the Word. And we read the Word of God together in Jesus' mighty name. Now, give us a second. We'll get this recording device here. Colossians 2. All right. Now we're going to Romans chapter 14. I'm back with all of you on the Facebook, YouTube, and Blog Talk Radio. Turn with me to now Romans chapter 14. Paul said on in Colossians chapter 2, but he really dealt specifically with holidays and holy days, saying they were things that pointing, they were a shadow of things that's to come. But you and I aren't in the shadow. We're in the light. Amen? Here we go. Romans chapter 14. And we're going to read the whole chapter like we did in Colossians. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Isn't this interesting? See what happens in this, all this holidays, holidays, and what you should, shouldn't eat. We start having a dispute about doubtful things. And Paul just said, do not do it. One believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak only eats vegetables. That's not a bad life, necessarily, about weak people.
Amen.
Oh, no, you saw that YouTube video where that guy was out taking a walk, and he was an obvious vegetarian, and he met a bear, and he challenged that. He was a weak individual that had nothing to do with his life. Verse 3. Not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day the same. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. And of course, Paul is saying that according to the word of God, right? He who does not observe the day of the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. Verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Verse 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Verse 9. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's happening when we have these conversations about these things, doubtful and vain disputes that create doubtful disputations. What ends up happening, we begin to start judging one another. Hold it. When judgment that's going to happen is you standing before Jesus. You know about what Jesus said about communion, the most holy observance of God we have is receiving the communion elements. And what did he say? Let a man examine himself. I'm not supposed to examine you. Supposed to examine you. Every time we start examining each other in the wrong place and right, and begin to produce the wrong process. I've gone preaching, and I must keep reading. I only have 10 minutes on this recording. Verse 11, which written, as I said, says the Lord, every knee shall bow. How many?
Every
tongue shall confess. How many?
Every
one of us. Some before the white throne judgment of God. But you and I as believers before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one of us get what every I'm in the Shekinah. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. But rather, resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Wait, if they believe you should worship God on Sunday, should you judge them? If that's what they believe, then do it. Amen? Hope so. May God bless you. But don't do it under strict religious rules and regulations, because that's Old Testament. That's not God. But I still don't judge you, even if you do that. Verse 14. I'm going and convinced the Lord Jesus, and that there is nothing unclean of itself. To him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your for whom Christ died. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Verse 17. Look at this verse. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom is. For he who is Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make peace and the things by which one may add edify another. You see what Paul's trying to bring here? Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is to yourself before God. Now, he's not saying use your faith and help your brother and sister stand. He's saying don't use your faith as a weapon to lord it over somebody else. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, for those of you that might be listening to the audio of this, this was made on the evening live stream. If you want to find it on YouTube and Facebook, you can find the whole teaching there, because I only have 10 minutes on this program. This has been chapter 14, the Apostle Paul talking about the separation of holy days and of eating or not eating food. You can also study Colossians chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 4. They're all great studies about this process right here, about holy days and holidays and getting ourselves in the right place with God. Recording, till we see you again, right here on Hear the Word. This is what we have to say. Remember this, we love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. That's Romans chapter 14. Now, Paul was saying it again, wasn't he? It's really meaning that. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pull those verses in. That is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28-30. All right.
Matthew,
is the question. Did you pin it?
She did say truthfully, not really, when you said there's a difference there.
Okay.
Is it right, Alicia, that chapter was in Clearfield? Holy Trinity.
All right. Let's read Jesus. Put me a little more definition with your truthfully, not really. That way I can understand where you're coming from. Read Matthew 28-30. Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, some of you have a Bible program. I didn't put it in notes because I'm already going to talk about three chapters, and I figured that would be plenty. But I would like to add the verses here where Paul is teaching about eating things that are sacrificed to idols. I'm not sure if it's Corinthians he teaches on that. I think it is. We're teaching about eating meat that was sacrificed to idols. Let's read that in here also. Remember this statement from Jesus, our Lord. Jesus said to them, I didn't come to complete it.
Thank you. what was the other one?
No, no. I didn't put any. I was just pausing myself. All right.
Oh.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. While the rest of them are studying, find that verse. I'm just going to keep moving with some more first while you guys are finding that.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Watch this. I think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That means to complete it. Jesus came to complete the law. Good study. Study these verses for Jesus. Now watch this. Matthew 22:34-40. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Now I'm going to Matthew 22:34-40. Now, I know we're laying it out here with a bunch of verses, but that's all right. We're going to get it. It was worthy and seemed to be the same for the example. I understand we are not to judge another choices on clean and unclean, or eat and not eat, or meet or not meet, or what day is worship. That's exactly what it was. And he said it four times in that chapter, over and over, in a different way, so that when we come out the other end of it, we say, well, I'm not going to judge anybody. It's deep and philosophical, but and not really. It's not really deep and philosophical. It's just a simple statement of, I'm quit judging one another, and let's just walk together in God. Now, I am in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. A lawyer asked him a question, testing him, and saying, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor, yourself. Now don't miss Matthew 22:40, because this is one of the most powerful verses of the New Testament. Matter of fact, I'm going to copy and paste it for you and stick it right in there. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. Jesus said the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, why are we talking about all this, Pastor? Because there are people in this day, and I don't judge you, who have very deep-seated belief systems about celebrating holidays. They don't believe you should have a picture of yourself in your home. They believe that is setting an idol before you. So, you know, they've taken the Ten Commandments and they've taken them way out of context of what God said. Jesus came to complete them. And now all of it is centered in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Mr. Felicia was wondering, what day do you worship? The Jewish faith. They worship on Saturday. The Lutherans worship on Sunday and Monday. Catholics worship on Sunday. Just going by what the different religion organizations, the days they worship on. Because they don't practice self. Now what? The Seventh-day Adventists believe you have worship on Saturday. The Sabbath was on Saturday. Let's use Jesus' resurrection. The Sabbath, Saturday night, and it says, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, Jesus was dead. So the Sabbath was the seventh day, that was Saturday. Sunday was the first day. Now, there's many different belief systems, but the one that I adhere to is the one that says, first and second century, the Christians stood up to the people and said, no, we're going to take a day off. And since Jesus rose on the first day of the week, we're going to celebrate Jesus' resurrection by worshiping on the first day. Jesus came and wiped away all the traditions of the Sabbath. They're done. They're a shadow. And so we're going to worship on the first day of the week. Now, this is what you got to get to. You have got to get between you and God a determination to serve Him boldly in your life. Now, let me give an example of it. Sunday off. Most places, a pastor's busiest day of the week is Sunday. If you were a Seventh-day Adventist, that pastor's busiest day would be Saturday. Right? Jewish rabbi and all that. But see, all of a sudden we see, even in the law, there was a fluidity. The priest served in the temple 7 days a week. So let's talk about people who do shift work. You may not be able to get to church on Sunday morning. Around here where we live, when they work on the rigs, you work 14 days straight. And then you have 14 days off. Some places you work 21 days straight and then have 10 days off. The idea is God doesn't desert those people and say, nope, that's it. You're done. Get out of here. That's not it. That's what Paul was teaching in Colossians 2 and Romans 14. There's going to be 1,000 different schedules around the world that people have to keep. What has to happen is that you and I don't judge each other in it. But when they're your brother, you say, well, God bless them. It's like being an over-the-road truck driver. Try to make that a six-day-a-week job and always have Sundays off. That doesn't happen too much, right? Yeah, how about the dairy farmer who's got cows that's got to milk? Well, Pastor, that's a different story. Then that means in the law, there was a leeway. There was an understanding that said, this is the law, but this. So what is Jesus showing? Jesus is showing, I'm not about this strict law, do or die. I am about love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Did you know that it used to be, I don't know if it still is this way, but it used to be in America that a born-again Christian, they couldn't have two born-again Christians as the pilot and co-pilot of a commercial flight because of the rapture. That literally used to be a case. We had so much influence in our world that they couldn't have a whole flight team, couldn't be born again Christians.
Wow, isn't that interesting? I never realized that. Huh.
And on the seventh day, he rested. And And that's one of those verses Roger just said. And on the seventh day he rested, that causes some people to go off the chart on their brother who works 7 days in a row and then takes a day off. What did Jesus and Paul teach us? Don't do that. Why? Because God's going to insert somebody in every influence position there is in life. And he wants a born-again, spirit-filled believer in every influential place there is in life. Whether they work 5 days in a row or 50 days in a row, it doesn't matter. Yes, that's a very good verse. Did anybody find that set of verses about eating the meat sacrificed to idols? Because I really want us to see this. Now, let me...
1 Corinthians 8. Yeah. 7 and 9. Is that the one? There are several different ones.
All right. That's a good one right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's read this. And verses 7, 8, and let's read 7 through 13. Amen. That's right, Felicia. 7. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. Did we not get all the verses? Oh, we should just read the whole chapter. I apologize. I thought I was jumping in at the right spot. Here we go. We'll read the whole chapter, chapter 8. First Corinthians chapter 8, Colossians chapter 2, Romans chapter 14, and Hebrews chapter 4 are all about idols, holidays, and eating. First Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Isn't that an interesting statement? And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. If anyone loves God, this one is known by him, God. Verse 4. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Verse 7. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food does not command us to God. For neither if we eat, are we the better, nor if we do not eat, are we the worse. Powerful statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
But beware lest somehow this liberties of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you eating in an idol's temple, now that'd be different for me. I wouldn't go in there and eat. No. Will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Now, what did Paul just say? Paul just said, if you know that it's been sacrificed to an idol, well, what other idol? There's no other God. There's only one God. That means they sat that piece of meat down in front of a piece of wood and said, ooh, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything because you're going to bless your food, right? And yet, I'm not going to go into a temple of an idol and eat that food. I'm just not going to do that. If I know that that was offered to a Hindu god and this is their temple, no, I'm not going to eat it. No, I wouldn't go in their temple to start with because you're in there. There's a demonic spirit in there. Amen? But here's the thing that Paul just said. You and I have more power within us in the Holy Spirit. We have more power in us, within us, within the Holy Spirit. Now, we've read a lot of verses, and I need to turn the corner on this so I can talk about Christmas. All right? Now, for those of you on the recording, this is 8 December 2021, and this is the evening program on the live stream that we are recording these from, and you can study that whole message called Holidays and Holy Days, and it'll be a good study for you. We want you to be free to enjoy your life in God, because that's what God wants you to do, is enjoy your life in God. Remember this, there is somebody somewhere around the world probably worshiping every form of tree or flower that there is.
Yeah.
So if you're going to purge your home of every tree or flower that someone worships, you probably won't have a tree or a flower. However, turn the wheel and get around that corner. Amen. However, it's not about trees or flowers. God made them. And man is the one that perverted it, not God. The rainbow doesn't belong to the homosexuals. The rainbow belongs to God as a promise that he will never again curse this world and destroy it with a flood. We don't care how much they use it. It will not pervert the holy thing that God said it is.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, that's what we say. Remember this. We love you and God loves you and Jesus is Lord. How's that?
Awesome.
We're kicking this thing tonight. We're getting a serious amount accomplished tonight. Now, let's say this. There are it's very specific that Jesus was not born at Christmas time. This is not the birth time of Jesus. And the reason why I say that is people will almost make enemies when it comes to a self-imposed religious observance. And we saw that Paul talked about that in Colossians chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Well, don't do that. Don't do that. Everywhere we go around the world right now, there is Christmas carols saying Christ is Lord. Christ the Lord is born today. Jesus is born. In a manger he lays. They're singing the Christmas carols all over the world today. And God loves every minute of it.
Amen.
He's not angry at them. He doesn't care that they play it in the mall.
He loves it.
He loves the fact that the sinner radio stations are playing that Jesus is born and Mary, did you know? And oh, holy night. And oh, come all you faithful. Why? Because the gospel is being preached around the world right now tonight in a way that is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I want us to take another look, a greater look, at this fact. There's the whole teaching about the pagan holiday, and that's why Christmas is celebrated when it is and how it is. Well, I didn't grow up celebrating the pagan holiday. I grew up celebrating the Christian holiday of Jesus being born. And my heart is warm the most this time of year, and Easter, which is really resurrection. I've never worshipped a bunny rabbit, and I don't worship a fat man dressed in red clothes coming down my chimney that he can't fit down. Never done that, never believed it. No. And don't teach your kids to believe it. Listen. For us to celebrate that Jesus was born at this time of year, whether some pagan person did it or not, does not violate anything in God. It doesn't. And all across this world, peace on earth, goodwill to men, is everywhere. That's not a deceiving spirit. That is not a false spirit. That is not a wicked spirit. That is the spirit of Almighty God moving on the hearts of men and the hearts of women. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, this is a little long, but I want to read it out loud because I want you to hear what this person says. This is very enlightening. I found this last year, and I read it to us last year, and I want you to just hear how this person wrote it. All right? You won't go to hell if you listen to me. You won't go to hell talking about this. What you're going to do is come to a greater understanding of who God is. I know people who won't celebrate Christmas, but they drink bars and go dancing to worldly music. See, what all of a sudden we find is we have a misguided religious observance that is self-induced. It's not coming from God. Is there anything wrong with that? Nope. Nope. But don't be so off the charts on this one thing and then off the charts the other way on something else. Because now you're just a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, you can give your body to be burned. And if you don't do it out of love, it profits you nothing. Because the whole kingdom works on love. I'm preaching better than people are staring right now, I can tell. Now, I want to record this also so people can hear it again. This is a study that I did last year in 2020 when I was at my mom's. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to study and find out when Jesus was born. Let's just see it. And I found this, and I studied a lot of things last year, but I found this article, and it really lays it out, and I think you will enjoy it. When Jesus was really born, by Stephanie Sanhamel. That's a Jewish name. Christmas can make me grumpy, and not in a bah humbug way. Why? Because the most anticipated event in Jewish history, the coming of Messiah, has been hijacked and distorted beyond recognition. I'm Jewish and I follow Yeshua, Jesus, but I've had a long-standing conflict with Christmas. It may not sound like it, but I'm actually all about the warm, fuzzy feelings associated with the season. Twinkling lights, mugs of hot chocolate, cozy snowscapes, festive music. Last year, I even tried to make my hand at making wassail. Wassail? Wassail? No. Like many Jewish Americans, I grew up with some Christian traditions. But as I grow older, I felt less warm and fuzzy and more unsettled about this day. What we see today is simply a syncretic hybrid holiday. People love to tell me that Jesus is the reason for the season. But I knew it wasn't that simple. Long before his birth, this time of year was filled with many similar traditions, except they were in celebration of a Roman winter solstice festival called Saturnalia. What we see today is simply a synthetic hybrid holiday initiated in the 4th century. This year, I couldn't take it anymore. I had to find out when Yeshua was actually born and maybe find a new tradition worth celebrating in the process. Syncretic, actually it's S-Y-N, like a synthetic, except it's syncretic. Where the date of December 25 came from. Early traditions claim that Yeshua was born in the spring. The oldest written records say he was born 194 years, 1 month, 13 days before the death of Commodus, which would work out to November 18th. Some historians, in what is likely a massive misunderstanding of a Jewish tradition, insisted it was December 25th. Because our sages believed that tzaddikim, righteous men, died on their birth dates. Somehow the Christian interpretation assumed that that the tradition was that great men died on their conception dates.
Huh.
Don't know. According to their logic, if Yeshua died on March 25th, as many believed, then that was his conception date, and therefore he would have been born a full 9 months later on December 25th, because pregnancies are always perfectly on time, apparently. Not. Come on, just follow with me. This is a really great article. You're going to enjoy it. Googling Jesus' birthday was a good start, but it also made me realize these traditions are long outdated assumptions. If I was going to find the actual date of Yeshua's birth, I'd need more scientific evidence. Then I had a realization. The Magi had followed a star from the east to find the newborn Messiah. And if the appearance of that particular star could be tracked down to a time frame, then ascertaining the birth date of Yeshua might be possible. Interesting.
It is.
Pause. Let's have a drink of hot water. Jewish references to the Messiah star, as it turns out, the Christmas star, is the most Jewish thing ever. For millennia, the coming Messiah has been associated with the appearance of a star. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. That's Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. Who wrote the book of Numbers? Moses. These are the words prophesied over Israel by the pagan sorcerer Balaam. While we were encamped in the wilderness, it was after this event that our sages began anticipating that the Messiah's coming would be heralded by a star. In fact, Rabbi Akiva gave the name Bar Kochba to a rebel military leader named Shimon ben Kosiba, and then proclaimed him to be the Messiah. It was Rabbi Akiva who ascribed to Shimon Bar Kochba the famous messianic verse, "A star will shoot forth from Jacob." This is how he got the name Kachba, which means star. The star is the interpreter of the law. These expectations were even etched into the Dead Sea Scrolls. Isn't that interesting?
Wow. Wow.
The star is the interpreter of the law as it is written. A star has left Jacob. A staff has risen from Israel. Similar sentiments are also recorded by Philo, Peshitta, Targum's Neophiti, Ankelas, Pseudo-Jonathan, and the fragmentary Targum, as well as the testimonies of both Judah and Levi in the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs. I imagine you didn't even know those books existed. Perhaps the most fascinating reference to this phenomenon is the post-Rabbinic Midrash, Agadat Hamasheshiach. It is taught in the name of our sages that a star will emerge in the east. This is the star of the Messiah. This source also contains one of the most compelling descriptions regarding this coming star. A star shall appear from the east, and on top of it, a rod of fire like a spear. The Gentiles' nations shall claim, this star is ours, but it is not so. Rather, it pertains to Israel, as Scripture forecasts, a star shall step from Jacob. Modern theories. This is really good. Just stick with me. Okay, so the prophesied star was well known, referenced by Jewish sources throughout history, and connected to the Jewish Messiah. But was there any scientific data to prove such a star actually appeared within the time frame Yeshua was born? That's what I needed to know. I returned to my digging and stumbled upon a video of Dr. Colin Nicole introducing this research at Oxford University. I thought I was doing a lot of research, but Nicole is a theologian who dedicated a decade of his life to studying astronomy so he could find out the truth behind the star. A decade of his life. Wow. Wow, wow. After reading his book, I came to find that he believes that the star which led the Magi to Bethlehem was a comet, based on the biblical description of the star. I felt this idea to be in keeping with the rabbi's description of the messianic star having a rod like a spear. He claims that the comet appeared when the historically documented event of the constellation of Virgo aligning with the sun and moon on September 15th, 6 BC, Tishrei 3756. That was the Jewish calendar. He calculates that Jesus was born as this comet was being birthed from Virgo on October 20th, 6 BC. 5 to 6, Heshvan 3756. Now, those are all calendar dates. Nicole was also kind enough to respond to a lengthy email I wrote him after finishing his book. I had plenty of questions, especially after reading other theories on the subject. Watch this. All biblical scholars agree that Herod was alive and the reigning monarch at the time of Jesus' birth. I mean, it says it,
yeah.
Right? In the midst of my research, I also read Reversing Hermann by Dr. Michael Heiser. In Chapter 4, Heiser puts forth this theory about the Bethlehem star. He believes that the star was the conjunction of the planet Jupiter and the star Regulus, a series of conjunctions which occurred in 3 BC, one of them being on September 11th, 3 BC. One, Tishrei 3759, that's a date. The first day of Tishrei, Tishrei 3759. Heiser believes that this is Yeshua's true birth date. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
This view is based on his use of astronomical software, his calculation dating to the death of King Herod to 1 BCE as opposed to 4 BCE, thereby opposing the predominant stance of modern scholarship. Although they don't agree on the date of his death, all biblical scholars agree that Herod was alive and the reigning monarch at the time of Jesus' birth. Isn't it something how God gave somebody an assignment to study all of this? Why? It's beneficial. It gives solidity, gives stability on the inside of us.
Yeah.
Keep reading. While both of these scholars present intriguing research, their theories are unpersuasive unless you know another piece of the puzzle, the sign of Virgo. The sign of Virgo in Revelation 12, what the author John describes, is considered by a number of Bible theologians to be a description of the heavens when Messiah was born. Revelation 12, 1 and 2. Great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet. On her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. This is not just obscure symbolism, but an arrangement in the constellations that actually occurred twice. In fact, within the years 7 to 1 BC, the time frame in which the historical person Yeshua was born, the woman John is referring to is the constellation Virgo. A meteorologist and Bible researcher, Ernest Martin, writes, the word sign used by the author of the book of Revelation to describe this celestial display was the same one used by the ancients to denote the zodiacal constellations.
Wow.
Everybody's looking like, Pastor, what are you leading us into? Just stick with me. Martin dated the phenomenon to September 11, 3 BC, based on his astronomical software calculation. The program indeed provided that on that date, the sun appeared in Virgo center, clothing her with the moon under her feet. In the year 3 BCE, these two factors came to precise agreement about an hour and a half in the twilight period of September the 11th, the relationship began about 6:15 p.m. sunset and lasted until around 7:45 p.m. moonset. This is the only day in the whole year that the astronomical phenomenon described in the 12th chapter of Revelation would take place. What does this mean, Pastor? It's just a good study to read and expand your mind to think a little greater. Keep listening to what she said. Heiser and Martin are in agreement on the date of September 11. However, Dr. Nickel is very persuasive that Herod died in 4 BC and that the most updated astronomy software proves that in the time frame of 7 to 1 BC, the only probable years for Yeshua's birth, Revelation 12:1, is only compatible with September 15, 6 BCE. He claims that in 3 BC, the moon was not precisely under Virgo's feet. And only in 6 BC did the correct positioning occur.
Huh.
What in the world does that have to do with anything? Don't worry, I'm almost to the conclusion. Both Martin and Nicole agree that the arrival of the Messiah occurred on Rosh Hashanah. Two theories, both based on astronomy and history, date Jesus' birth a few years apart, but only a few weeks apart on the calendar year. Yet what stood out to me is that both Martin and Nicole agree that the constellatory sign heralding the arrival of the Messiah occurred on Rosh Hashanah. I wasn't able to figure out the exact day Yeshua was born. This is the conclusion. There is still some element of mystery about the Messiah's birth. And maybe that's how it should be. Here's what I do know. Yeshua was born to Jewish parents in the town of Bethlehem. He was born in the autumn during the high holiday season. And his coming was announced in the sky on Rosh Hashanah. Great trumpets are blown. And what happened? The angels of the Lord, says the heavenly host, filled the skies. And can you imagine them shepherds laying out in the field? Go tell everybody, yes, yes, we're going right now. Somebody stay with the sheep, I'm going. But this was a historical event, not a myth. It didn't take place in a quaint nativity scene nestled under twinkling stars on someone's front lawn. Dean Martin wasn't singing Let It Snow on the radio. It was likely a warm night in central Israel. A teenage Jewish girl went into labor amongst farm animals. And perhaps somewhere in the village, a shofar sounded to herald the coming king under the new moon, which had appeared at Virgo's feet. Powerful thought, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
This was finally the missing piece I was looking for. In Jewish tradition, the entire month of Elul, leading up to Rosh Hashanah, anticipates God's presence coming among us. It is a time of reflection and repentance. We certainly have enough tradition at Rosh Hashanah to commemorate Yeshua's birth. We anticipate blowing the shofar when Messiah comes and at the resurrection of the dead in the same way. As the shofar resounded underneath Virgo in Bethlehem on that Rosh Hashanah so long ago, it will sound again when Messiah returns on the clouds of heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Ready? This is really good. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable or incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. The Hasidic rabbis teach that the cry of a shofar has a certain sound akin to the wail of a child yearning to be reunited with a beloved parent. There are no words to express a longing that is so deep, so primal, and so true. He lived, he still lives, and he is returning. May that desire be reawakened in us all this December 25th, or whenever we see Messiah's star in a frosted storefronted window on the form of spring sugar cookies, or dangling over a nativity scene. It appeared to bring hope to the Jewish people, and it remains to do the same. He lived, he still lives, and he is returning.
That is really a good reading.
Isn't that really a good reading?
Yeah.
Pastor, what in the world did you solve with that? Oh, nothing. We didn't solve anything. Thank you, Phyllis. I appreciate you saying that, ma'am. See, here's what we got to come to, guys. We've got to come to this. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. I want to read those final verses, and they'll probably be the final verses for tonight, at least the first time I say that. Colossians chapter 2, somewhere here. You didn't tell us what to do tonight, Pastor. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Oh, wait. We still got an audio going. This is being recorded on 8 December 2021 on the live stream in the evening. If you want to hear this whole program, we welcome you to come and be a part. It's on Facebook and on YouTube. And it'll be a blessing to you, the whole study. We've also read Colossians chapter 2, Romans chapter 14, And we refer you to Hebrews chapter 4. Till we see you again, this is what we say.
We love you.
And God loves you.
God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord. Now, I think I can take these off. I just have learned that when we're getting ready to read a whole bunch of Bible, I might as well record it, because then I can have it for a later time when we want to study that again. Now watch this. Colossians chapter 2, and let's go down to verses 18 through 23. You know, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Sister Leanne knows, and you guys don't live around us close like this, but I'd have lights up all year long. You know why? Because Jesus is the light of the world, and he lives in me, and Jesus loved light. God loves trees because he said, you shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. So we don't have a problem with that tree in my front room. I don't worship it. I don't sing, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree. I don't worship any of this. The only thing I worship is Jesus. And I read the story of Christmas. My children were growing up. Never opened presents until we read the Christmas story. Wait, all of it. Why? Because it's Jesus' birthday.
Yeah.
It's all right to give gifts to each other on somebody else's birthday. There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't worship that tree. We have, what's this called? I called it a shad tree, but that's not so true. This is a ficus something tree. Somewhere in the world, somebody's worshiping that tree, but I'm not. And God loves lights, and God loves trees, and God loves decorations, and God loves festivity. God loves a feast. He loves a party. Goodness sakes, when Solomon dedicated the temple, they literally partied for a solid month. A month.
Well, the Jewish calendar, don't they like have some kind of feast every...
It's always
week, it seems like they're feasting and partying.
Colossians 2:18. I'm gone to preach and I just want to read. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility. That's a very powerful defining statement. And worship of angels, introducing into those things which he's not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Comes from the mind. 19. Not holding fast to the head, that's capitalized, Jesus, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. You and I grow and develop in God from Jesus being the head and we being the body. 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. That means once you use it, it's going to perish. It's going to fall apart. 23. This is a powerful verse. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. False humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of your flesh. 3:1. Colossians 3:1. 1, 2, and 3. If you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. I'm the light of the world. On the corner of this building, in our apartment, we are the Christmas lights. And there's Jesus in all four windows that you can see. And there's a nativity scene being broadcast up on our wall on the outside. We are the light of the world here. And that light says Jesus. It says Jesus. It doesn't say Santa Claus. Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. For you died and your life is hidden in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, let's bring this to a conclusion. Paul said, do not judge one another in meat and drink in a holy day. It's not whether you wear a long dress or a high collar. It's not whether you have long hair or short hair. Jesus had long hair. He really did. But his hair didn't look like a woman's hair. A woman's hair was taken care of differently than a man's hair was. And you could tell the difference. Everybody's like, oh, he's going to hair. Can you believe we're now on hair?
Or no hair.
Or no hair. See, man's made it about hair. I mean, when I was helping my mom and dad move out of their house for the first time and move to Tennessee, I found a little book that said the evils of the golden band. And it was talking about how evil the wedding ring was. They were using verses out of the Bible to tell you how evil the wedding band was. That's a self-imposed religious observance that has value. And that just needs to be one of our deciding factors every time we start looking at something like this. Wait. Is this a self-imposed religious indoctrination, or is this something God is asking me to do? No. I'm not saying God won't ask some people to do things. Just remember, he's always going to lead you into the paths of righteousness, not into a path of self-righteousness.
Yeah.
He's always going to lead you into the path of peace, not into the path of strife at all. Yeah. I ride a Harley. You know how many wicked men and women ride Harleys and do the most perverse things you can imagine on a Harley? It doesn't make the Harley wrong, nor than it makes a Ford truck or a Dodge truck wrong. The bottom line is, what we've got to do is we got to say, this $100 bill in my pocket may have been at a casino. It could have been in a house of ill repute with a hooker. It could have paid for some human slavery. I don't know. But in my pocket, it will be righteous. And I will sanctify it. And I'll worship the Lord with my tithe. And that means every one of those $100 bills of mine will be holy. When it leaves my hand, it'll be holy. And every place it goes, it's gonna be holy. Every time I go into a hotel room, I'm going to go in that room, and we're going to anoint with oil the windows, the doors, the doorknobs, the handles, the toilet, the bed. We anoint the whole thing with oil. Why? Because I don't know who's been in there, and I don't know what they did, and I really don't care. I just know from me forward that place is now anointed by the presence power of Almighty God. What is it that you and I do? We change the atmosphere of the world that we live in. Amen? Has this been a good word? It has been a good word. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read Hebrews chapter 4, but maybe I should just take the time. It's only 16 verses. Should I do it? How much time we got? Well, I'm not going to do it tonight. We've just added Hebrews chapter 4 in this, and you can also read that. That's just another. I know what happened as soon as I start reading it. I'll preach it, and we'll be over into 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning before we'll ever be done because of what that chapter opens up. That chapter opens up all kinds of things. And
That could be tomorrow's study.
We have done well tonight in what we've done and what we've studied. What's interesting about tonight is that we were all listening and paying close attention. And usually on a night like tonight, we're up to about, I'm not sure how many comments we're usually up to. But what I enjoy about watching this happen is usually by the end of the program, we're at about 300 comments. Tonight, we're at about 125 so far, right? But what does that mean, Pastor? Well, everybody's paying attention. And everybody's listening to the Bible. Because guys, when we stand before Jesus, you won't give an account of what that lady wrote that I just read. You won't give an account of what I preached. You're going to give an account of what this book says. And I'm going to take us to this book. And we're not going to read one verse. We're going to read 3, 4, 5, the context, the whole chapter. So that when you stand before Jesus, you'll know exactly how you are being judged. And then there won't be any mistaking. You'll be able to walk into that judgment room saying, hello, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I worship you. I honor you and adore you. But he's going to say, come on in, and you're going to be in the presence of truth, but you won't be afraid of it. There's no reason to be afraid of that moment of truth over there because he is worthy, he is faithful, he is just, he is righteous, and he's given all of that to you and me. There's no reason to ever be afraid. Isn't that powerful? Well, that means on this side, we have to live according to that book. So on that side, when we walk up to the judgment seat and our name is called, there won't be any pretense. There won't be any confusion.
Amen.
Right? Amen. And we'll be standing in the presence of truth itself. And you know what's going to happen? The fire is going to hit your works. Some of it's going to be burned up. Just admit it. Some of it's going to be burned up. But it's okay because from this day forward, nothing has to be burned up in your life. You get to make a choice for today that I'm going to live wide open, full throttle for God Almighty. Like the old biker said, take life wide open till you see God and then slide her sideways and hit the brakes. That's God, yep. Amen. I do have to go to sleep sometime tonight, but I'm not going to miss out on anything you say tonight. Thank God for my mom and dad. I don't know if mom's with us tonight. I haven't been able to watch who's been joining us. But my mom and dad always made Christmas about the birth of Christ. Always, 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 always. And I can't tell. It won't let me go back very far. But they always made it about Christ's birth. And yet, Christmas time was the most wonderful celebration that we had of all of our times of year. And the family was together. And like I said to you before, we always played Handel's Messiah. They had it on records. And, you know, scratchy records, you know. And after a couple of years, they were scratched and they would skip. And, you know, but we always played Handel's Messiah. So who knows? I probably heard that, I don't know, 15 or 25 times growing up as a kid before I ever got to sing it. Maybe, probably 20 times, maybe 30 times before I ever got to sing it as a young man. And I was trained in the birth of the Messiah, Jesus, and the beauty of it. That's why I love it so much, because it talks about his coming to this earth in the mighty name of Jesus. I encourage you, be the light, be the blessing, be the power, be the joy at any place you go that's celebrating this Christmas. If they need somebody to pray, you pray. Amen? Don't sit around the back corner and hide. Oh, no, don't do that. You stand up boldly. You proclaim that the angels announced him when he came to Joseph and Mary and Zechariah and Elizabeth. Simeon and Anna prophesied and by the Holy Spirit showed up on the right day. Luke chapter 1, 45. There will be a performance of everything that a man or a woman grabs from God and believes. There'll be a performance of it. Just like Mary. And you and I will be the force and will be the life and the light of God. That city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. This city is not quite on a hill, but we ain't hidden around this corner. You turn that corner, you know that these people in this apartment believes in lights and Jesus and praise God for Christmas. If you come to our front door, it's got Jesus on it. It's got Jesus. Anyways, let's pray. Do you have anything you want to say, Lou? Did I say it sufficiently? Are you sure? You're the only one that has any ability to say words to me right now, so you might as well give it all you got.
I don't know. These guys can type pretty loud sometimes.
They can type pretty loud, can't they? We sure do love every one of you, and we appreciate you being here and being with us.
Yes, we do.
In Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, beyond our human comprehension, we open up our spirits and say, lead us, Holy Spirit of God. Lead us. Lead us. In the words, that great hymn, come thou long expected Jesus. Come and set thy people free. From our sin and darkness free. Come to set us free. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. And tonight, with the heavenly angels, we want to sing that song. And so many artists have been blessed by a song from you that says, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Oh, we sing glory to you. What an experience it would have been to be laying on the hillside in Bethlehem that night with those shepherds and seeing the multitude of the heavenly host filling the sky and proclaiming glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to men. When the angels, probably Gabriel said, go tell them, go tell everyone That's probably when the song "Go Tell It on the Mountain" was told and was written. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that the Word of God is filled with prophetic utterances that explain to us everything that's going to happen. And then it all happened. Here we are today. Most of the prophecies fulfilled. We're at the climax of the ages, the apex. The door is about to close, and the clock is about to strike midnight. And we'll be in heaven with you. Help us, Lord. Help us to see our families, find you, and know you, and walk with you every day. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray this in Jesus' mighty, In Jesus' mighty name. Don't you love it? I love it. I love it. I love it. And now, let's receive the communion elements. You know, Brother Ken Brumbaugh, our dear brother that's here, said at the beginning of December, if you read one chapter every day of Luke from December 21st, or from September 1st, read the whole chapter, the whole book of Luke. I was thinking about that the other day. If you read it backwards from the crucifixion and the ascension to the 25th day, you would be on December 25th. It'd be Jesus being born. Cool thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Here we go. This is why Jesus came right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes and returns. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. That's what you have to do. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 proclaims, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in God's perfect love. And there is no fear in the beautiful communion elements that you and I enjoy every single day. You might be new to us and say, Pastor, I've never seen anybody do communion this way. Well, we didn't either until God set us on this path, and now it's how we do it every day. Those of you who've come and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never invited him to come in, you've never repented of your sins, turned and went the other way. This is the process. We're going to pray a prayer. It's the prayer of salvation. We're going to pray that the same prayer is the prayer of rededication. The same prayer is a prayer where we say, "Woo! We've been walking with God now for years, and we're so fired up that we get to have God Almighty living on the inside of us." Are you ready? Pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Put your hands out and just do it. Say, and I receive you into my life.
And I receive you into my life.
Right now.
Right
now. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
And understand your holy word.
And understand your holy word.
Pray in my heavenly prayer line. Live a successful life as a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, let me welcome you to the kingdom of God. Welcome. Greatest prayer you ever prayed was that one right there. Because it brought you. You are born into kingdom of God. And that prayer, you went from darkness to light. You should have experienced it on the inside. You went from fear to faith on the inside. Yes, you did. You went from your sin, which you can't beat. None of us could. To Jesus' righteousness, which he freely gave you. And not only did he give it to you, he made you into his righteousness. Your sin might, your efforts might fail, but his doesn't. Did you just see that? That was a really good opportunity to start preaching right there. In that same prayer, Jesus, the Father looked at Jesus and said, adopt them into the family. You are now adopted. You are an heir of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus. Yes, you are. And you are now a child of Almighty God. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 18. The Spirit of God is now on the inside of you, bearing witness of all of this. From this day forward, your responsibility is to pray a prayer every day that says, Jesus, help me walk with you. Try it.
Jesus, help me walk with you every day.
Pray it. Mean it from the depths of your heart. And he will always be with you. They put my email address and my website in there. My email address, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Send me a message. Ask me a question. Tell me a story. Give me your testimony. Send us a prayer request. Most of all, ask me to send you the 10 foundation verses that I believe are the most important verses you can memorize, learn, study, receive the revelation of. We'll be glad to send it to you. Everything we do here is free of charge, doesn't cost a penny, because like Brother Keith said, if there is no charge, there is no excuse.
Amen.
Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. This message has touched your life tonight. Listen to it again and again. It'll produce more life every time you hear it. In Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready? I feel like I forgot something. don't know what it is. Get you some bread and water, bread and grape juice. That's what Jesus told us to do, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. I like my little cup here because it's, though your skins were red, your sin were red like crimson. They shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. Powerful. Ready? Pray this with me. I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
They are sanctified.
They are sanctified.
Pray this with me. Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement.
Is upon you, Lord.
Upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes,
and by your stripes
I am healed.
In my
spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In
from your body, Lord.
Your body, Lord.
In the body of Christ.
In the body of Christ.
Within my community.
Within my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you endured the cross. You despised the shame. And you called it all joy so that we could be set free. We thank you for it. Now we lift up the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus,
by the blood of Jesus,
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus,
by the blood of Jesus,
every sin has been placed in remission
in
my life,
and
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away,
and all things have become new.
And I thank you for
it. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony,
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus,
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace,
where
I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague
has to pass over
and cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be
the glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me,
in
Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty.
Amen. And
amen.
And amen. Let's receive the juice together. And let's sing our song. We sing many, but let's sing this one. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Well, there we go. We even beat the 92nd lady.
Oh, you turned her off?
I started a little late.
Oh. There you go.
In the mighty name of Jesus. I feel like that was a very excellent, very simple, light and easy message.
It was very good.
What do you think? I really think, I don't think.
There she is.
You thought she was bad, didn't you? Guys, we've got to keep it light and easy. And most important, don't bring upon yourself a self-imposed religious tradition that has no value. That's one of the worst things you can do to yourself, because you begin to force yourself to come into under something that has no spiritual life. And why put yourself under some kind of an observance that has no spiritual life within it?
Yeah.
No, don't do it. Jesus is life and life more abundantly. Don't put yourself under strict religious observations that have nothing to do with Christ, when all Christ is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. We read it. It's right there in Romans chapter 14. And I rejoice with you in the glory of God. Ah, Rebecca. Rebecca, she's back, but we ain't afraid of her.
Good night, Sunday. Love you.
Good night, Sunday, Geyser. We love you. Thank you for your faith, ma'am. Every one of you. Every one of you. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for praying for us every single day, asking God to help us and strengthen us and cause us to stand. Thank you. Thank you. Because it is in that process. She spoke and Jake looked around like, what was that? Love you, Jake. Love you, Jake. Love you, buddy. My husband complains about the commercialization of it, but he agrees with Christ's birth and family. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's way commercialized. It is. But you know what? We're the light. We're the salt. If we back down, then the world has its way. And we're not going to do that, ever. We're not going to back down. We're not going to be afraid of no enemy force, in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, all y'all just went there, and I need you to come back. There you are. Make sure you click like or love so that we know you were here and we can pray for you by name, because we want to bless every one of you. We truly pray for you guys by name. And, you know, God's doing a mighty work amongst us. And it's just so amazing that we get to see it and enjoy it and grow in it and develop in it and be established in it. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Is that it, love? This is Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. We'll see you at noon for noon prayer. And then again tomorrow night, we'll be reading the Christmas story. We didn't read the Christmas story tonight, did we? Kind of sort of talked about it all night with the star and the wise men and all that. Mm-hmm. But may the Lord bless your sleep. Amen. Psalm 23 says, he'll make you lie down in green pastures. He'll lead you beside the still waters. He will restore your soul tonight. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Right now, while you're sleeping, your young men will see dreams. Your old men will see visions. And on the men servants and the maid servants, we'll all prophesy. Because he's poured his spirit out upon us. I call your sleep blessed tonight. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
All right. Good night. I am restored.
I love that.
Bless you, Blog Talk Radio. Please send us an email, a message, a letter. Let us know where you're listening from so we know you're there. And we'll be a blessing to you also. In Jesus' mighty name.